This is Colourful Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the legendary Larry Blackmon.
Yeah.
Hey. Yes.
Thank you. Hold your applause 15 minutes, that's all.
Sorry, say that again? Hello?
No, that's okay. Oh. How are you?
We're fine, and how are you more importantly?
Just great, thank you, just great.
We're absolutely...
Living it and loving it.
That's fantastic. I mean, more than 14 million album sales later, you are still larger than life. I mean, who or what do you accredit your sustainability to?
The music itself, you know, the art of the music, you know. You have to acquiesce to the art. And, you know, when we got in this business, it was because of music, because we loved music, and performing became a part of that art. So, you know, there's one experience in the studio, of course, and another when you're performing live on stage. And when we found we could manipulate both, you know, as no one else, and we decided to make it something that we would do for our lifetime.
Now, when I announced that I'd be speaking to you on my show tonight, every single person I spoke to, you probably heard, I don't know if you was listening earlier, they can't contain themselves. They talk about your codpiece. I mean, did you... Look, he's laughing. Did you?
I would hope there's more to talk about other than the codpiece, but
this
yes.
This is what I say as well. But, I mean, they all want to know, did you have a stylist or did you come up with that stroke of genius yourself?
Well, you know, for years before we actually focused on me wearing the red one, we used to have codpieces on our costumes for years prior to that. Well, when we were shooting the video Word Up, our costume designer, Toyce Anderson at the time, he's no longer with us, God bless his soul, but it was his idea to combine all of that into one impact and have me wear it. And it wasn't until the actual day of the shoot that I got to see it myself. I had no idea what I was even going to wear. So it came as quite a surprise, and it's had a lasting effect, to say the least.
Most definitely. I mean, you know, I say your name and that's what they remember. And the next thing people do is launch into the candy dance. Are you aware that no party is had without everyone doing the candy dance? Do you know the candy slide that we do?
Absolutely. It started with the film. I forget the name of the film. Something about marriage or something.
Best Man. Best Man.
Yes, Best Man, that's correct. That was it. I have to remember that. And then we noticed while doing shows around the States and the world, for that matter, we noticed everybody jumping into it. It wouldn't matter if there were seats in the audience or not. They would just jump into the aisles and start doing it.
And can you do the dance yourself?
You know, I've really never been interested in the dance myself. get this. I used to see that dance years before... Candy came out. We used to see that dance all over, and you know, I don't know. You know, we studied dance. Actually, formally studied dance, jazz and ballet, in through the years, and it was just one dance that just did not appeal to me. I'm sorry, I have to be honest. It doesn't cause like unbearable pain for me to watch others enjoy themselves, which I get a kick out of going, you know, to different cities. You know, it was called the Electric Slide, and then
that's right.
and other variations on that, you know, which is why, as you see, I know what I'm speaking of when I say, you know, I've seen that dance, and I really enjoy to see John Q doing that dance. More than I would enjoy even imagining myself doing that dance.
Well, of course, I mean, you're really kind of a funkster, really, aren't you? You're kind of rock, soul, all wrapped into one. I mean, how would you actually describe your music?
As balls out. Just straight balls out. I mean, you know, raw and what it is. And we kind of, like, refuse to be pigeonholed into a, plain R&B cubby. There's nothing wrong with that, but let us, you know, as a musician and having years of experience being a musician, you'd really like to play music, and you know, that's why we haven't released an impactful CD, well, any CD actually, until we shape things the way we wanted them to be, because we want to show once again music is timeless.
Yeah.
Okay, we can see that in every released by artists that haven't released in a while, from Prince to Patti LaBelle to, God bless his soul, Barry White. You know, when he came out with Practice What You Preach, which, yeah, by the way, he didn't even write. Gerald LaVert wrote that song, but it sounded as if it would have been the next single from the release he had 18 years prior.
Right, right, right.
So when it comes to music, we don't feel that there are any limitations whatsoever. And we want to be around to be able to say, okay, you know, we all still like the fundamentals of funk and roll. You know what I mean?
That's what I was trying to remember, funk and roll, that terminology there. I mean, you were one of the first to create the theme-based videos using actors such as Larry Fishburne and Debbie Morgan, to name but two, to play out storylines behind your songs. And with the production of Candy, you were the first in the US to employ high-definition technology. How important was it back then to stay cutting edge, and are you still that way now?
We had no idea that high definition would be the the standard medium for video these days. We were told that it would be, that was for sure. And we were interviewed on the Today Show with Brian Gumbel, and I'll never forget. I co-directed that video with a guy named Zig Biebrzynski from Poland, and he was the first to start using that technique. I think after us, he used it with Mick Jagger on his solo project, and we didn't get along at all on that video. We fought like cats and dogs, and subsequently it became a controversial video because the technique layers visual just as you would a 24 track or 32 track recording. Each track is just one track being re-recorded, and it's like that with the video technique of high definition. So it would appear that we had more people in the video than we actually had, and we were accused of using more white dancers and it wasn't so. I mean, you know, we had three and three, but because you could layer the presentations, it gave the appearance of they dressed differently and had different themes each time. So, you know, it was interesting, but we had no idea it would be as groundbreaking as it was.
Absolutely.
And plans were already in the works back then for it to be what it has turned out to be.
Fantastic. I mean, when I was enjoying your videos when they first came out, not to give away my age at all, it's true. You just kind of absorb it. You love it. But you have no idea how much you're going to hold on to that. And do you know what I mean? It's almost like you... There's nothing to come. You didn't know that anything was going to come better after that. That makes sense.
No. Well, it wasn't about our better as much as it was the. I thought we were focusing on the technical aspect of it, which I have to say I'm a technical bug as well, because having directed several videos and from Bobby Brown to so many now. I look back at my career when it comes to film and video. And, it's like a blur, but we definitely plan to get it to our television production. But as far as better, no, we had Candy, and we did a lot of interesting videos using Debbie Morgan and Lawrence Fishburne, which at the time I didn't know was my third cousin. We found out that we were related after that video.
Oh, Lux love. All right. So, I mean, talking about film and television, all that, you have gone on to establish yourself as a writer, producer, director, actor, and a mentor. Tell us about your acting credits.
Well, the one acting credit that you might be aware of was Born in East L.A. With Cheech Marin. I did a short stint in Head of That, and I took jobs on a film course at UCLA while in Los Angeles, having just directed Arsenio Hall's first video.
Oh, wow. That's big.
Yeah.
What was it like to work with Arsenio?
I'm sorry?
What was it like to work with Arsenio Hall?
Oh, Arsenio's great. It's great. And coincidentally, we both had our first national television debut on Don Kirshner's rock concert some years prior to that.
Okay, now I hear that you're still recording and we can expect a new album from you this year. Is this a rumor or is this for real?
No, it's for real, actually. As to whether or not it's released this year, which still remains to be seen, because we're having a lot of interruptions in being able to have the concentrated amount of time that we need. But the 30th anniversary, we're putting together the biographical material for it to be the last of a 2-CD set. On the opposite side of the second CD, there'll be an interactive CD whereby you can see the photos and get a brief history on every member that's ever been in Cameo.
Wow. And so you reckon we can get this that be delivered, what, this time next year?
Well, wow. Hopefully, if it's not done by the fall, then you can look forward to it the first quarter of the following year. According to Universal's release schedule, we have to sort those kind of things out. But this will be a CD you won't want to miss, that's for sure.
I'm looking forward to it already. All right, you've produced many bands over the years, including Cashflow. Which of the new school bands would you like to work your magic on?
Well, these days we don't have as many musical bands. And I don't think it's a matter of bands these days as much as it is technique. I think music has come down to being very personal these days, just like signature clothing or leatherware or anything else. I don't think it's as broad as it used to be, but I think there are just as many opportunities to have an impact. And that's what's important to us.
All right,
rather than to put material out just to put it out, we like for everything to be impactful. And if you listen to any Cameo CD, one thing you'll find is the variety, the eclectic variety.
That's true.
And you'll find that the sound is of a superior nature. And those things are important to us.
And it shows.
In the meantime, we're having fun performing. And we've been doing this for so long that we look forward to working, because what it does is distract you from any other minor distractions you might have. It's like playing golf. It just takes your mind off of everything else, and the focus becomes how well can you do that same song that you've been doing.
Yeah, I'm hearing that.
Have that impact each time.
I don't think you can go wrong. No matter, you could be sitting, reading singing the phone book, and we're just going to be mesmerised by you, I'm sure. I've got a couple of emails here. Let me quickly, they're just coming in thick and fast for you. I've got one here from Amy, and she says, interesting to hear that Larry has an interest in the technical side of video production. What would he say was the most difficult thing to get right when creating a video that works?
Well, I'd have to say that the Candy video was quite difficult to get right because, again, it was a brand new technology that we were not accustomed to. And, being in this industry after a while, you become a little intractable about certain things. And for some reason, Larry Blackman could not understand that it wasn't the same technology at the time. So it took an hour for me to understand exactly what we were doing before able to contribute as well as I could.
And I've got an email. Thank you for that. I've got an email here from Will. Will says, has Larry met Obama yet? And if he hasn't, what would he say to him?
Well, no, we haven't had the pleasure. We came very close to playing at one of the inaugurational balls. But what would I say to him?
Yeah.
I'd say right on.
Exactly. I got one here from Dean. Dean says, please ask Larry what his performance heritage is. Which artist shaped his performing style?
Every late, great black performer that ever existed. I grew up about 10 blocks from the Apollo Theater. And since the time I was about 5 years old, I got to see every late, great black performer that ever existed at that time.
I know, it's
from
amazing.
Otis Redding,
yeah.
From Otis Redding to Flip Wilson.
I've got one here from Matt. Matt says, who would Larry say are his musical mentors?
I'd have to say and sort of chronologically, let's see. I'd have to say James Brown.
Yeah.
I'd have to say, for different reasons, there was an act back in New York at the time called Dyke and the Blazes, and they really turned me out as far as drum technique was concerned. Then from there, I'd say Sly Stone and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Goodness, the Motown House, of course. And goodness, it just went on from there. Of course, in later years, Maurice White.
Yeah.
Which I had the pleasure of working with them, too. And, man, I've had a wonderful career up to now. And I'm only looking forward to the impact that we can make technically and musically in the future.
You still look forward to that. That is wild. I know that you're also a radio presenter. Tell us about your show.
I'm sorry, the show that we're coming to London with?
No, you do a radio show, do you
know? Oh, a radio show, yeah? Here in Atlanta, yes. I'm not doing it anymore because it monopolized my time too much. Right. But it was on 104.1 KISS here in Atlanta, and it's a major, and I think we went from 7 to 3 in the market during my time slot, which was from the drive time from 3 to 7. I was asked to fill in for 2 weeks, and it turned into 8 months.
Fantastic. What sort of music did you play?
Well, we played classic funk, and we had I used to really enjoy the what they would call a 5 o'clock flashback, and it was, you know, we could play anything we wanted that kept it up and kept it pumping. I had a lot of fun, and I became a little addicted to the contact with our audience, the direct one-on-one contact, and you know, we've discussed other things like that. But, you know, what I found in these recent years is that it's better to get the three things you really want to do out of the way other than the 10 you'd like to do.
Well, listen, I'm going to have to let you go right now. But now that I know that you present a radio show, when you come into London, my people's going to speak to your people and see if you couldn't come in and do a Larry Blackman special with me.
Oh, I would love to. I'd tear it up.
Oh, we've got. I tell you what, don't go away, because I've got an up and coming in the studio right now called Clinton Jordan. He's just released his album Arrivals and Departures, and I'm sure that he's got two questions that he'd love to ask you. Is that okay if you wait?
Not a problem.
Lovely. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. Colourful Radio indeed, in case you've just joined us. Wow, where have you been? Because we have got Larry Blackman from the one and only Cameo on the phone, and he's promised that he would ask our up and coming artist in the studio, Clinton Jordan, and of course Michael Connor. Who wants to go first? He's here.
Well,
he's listening.
Pointing to each other because we're kind of nervous now.
Don't be nervous.
How you doing, Larry?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? You all right?
Oh, I'm fine. And you?
Oh, I'm good. This is Clinton Jordan. We've all just gone kind of tongue-tied now. We're talking to one of, like, our heroes. So it's a bit
oh,
awkward.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, man. Just your whole vocal style, where did that come from?
Well, you know, being that we were a cover band in the beginning, we had to sing different songs by different people.
Right.
Everybody from, as I said, Earth, Wind & Fire to, oh my God, any hit that was out at the time, because a lot of our repertoire was made up of the top 10 songs that were on Billboard, mostly.
Yeah.
And so what we would view a song somewhat like a script in a movie.
Yeah.
It would call for a certain character. Mm-hmm. It would call for a certain tone and a certain attitude.
Yeah.
And so I would take most of the baritone songs, okay, and then I would love to flip the attitude according to the content of the song.
Yeah.
If you listen to something like Single Life, and you listen to something like Attack Me With Your Love, you could see the different attitudes.
Completely different, yeah.
And then, of course, I would use certain signature sounds to tie it all together.
Yeah.
You know, such as the owl and the other things that I would use. you know, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah, you seem like you got more character in your storytelling rather than just like a lot of vocalists that carry on and kind of singing a song, which is quite nice.
We kind of used to, we would see ourselves as representative of a certain type of lifestyle.
All right.
And that was, you know, fancy free, you know, it being as free as possible, yet being clever songs like She's Strange.
Uh-huh.
And like Alligator Woman and that kind of stuff. And
right.
That kind of, you know.
Right. Cool, cool.
My question is,
yes.
Question is your, what would you say is your proudest moment in
goodness. Oh my goodness. That is a hard one. I can tell you one of them was doing the Whitney Houston along and a couple of other people at the time.
Wow.
I think that was one of, because you know, prior to that we used to do a Soul Train, I guess once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did the very first Soul Train Music Awards, Don Cornelius called and asked us to, you know, open it up.
Yeah.
And that was a very proud moment, I have to say. But there have been so many moments like that.
Yes.
Presenting the CD of the Year award to Paul Simon.
Yes.
Along with Kris Kristofferson at the Grammys was another high point.
Okay.
And then, you know, you can remember your most embarrassing moments, like when you first met Denzel Washington thinking he was a keyboard player for Aretha Franklin. And he said, no.
Yeah.
And that was at the NAACP Image Awards, you know. So, I mean, you know, they've been mixed, trust me.
Thank you very much.
I thought that we was going to let you go. Fortunately, we've still got emails coming in for you. So, are you all right for a minute?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I've got one here from Gemma. Gemma says, Larry clearly has a great sense of humour. Please ask him what makes him smile.
Wow. You know, trust me, life sometimes can be funnier than fiction. And the irony of certain things sometimes just helps you to keep a, you know, pretty much healthy attitude about everything, because if you don't laugh, you'll cry yourself to death. No, I mean that in a funny way, but nevertheless, you know, it's just like that. You know, I just feel very fortunate for having the fortune that I've had and the success that we've had, and we can look around us from a lot of different angles and see it differently.
All right, I've got one here from Tolu. Tolu says, in terms of creating performances which are impactful, what is the one thing which he, meaning you, would say to fledgingly performers to help them break through?
I'd say stick to it and don't give up, regardless of the, you know, what some might perceive to be disappointment. You know what I mean? If you're dedicated to the art of what you do, then, you know, be dedicated to yourself and seeing it through. You know, you have so much to learn through what they call disappointments as well as successes that it's well worth it.
You have made so many albums. You're obviously a prolific songwriter. Which is your favorite album?
Now that I can't tell you, because each song are like different kids. And, you know, and which one do you love the most? You know, it's hard to say. You know, being the producer and having produced, you know, every Cameo record that ever existed, it's really hard to say which one you like the most. I mean, even one we would might deem to be the most successful, still, you know, there are other songs and other, you know, sometimes in life, it's the journey to getting where you're going rather than arriving there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, and when that's embodied in a particular work that you do, then you can't say which is more, you know.
Well, can
your
I?
Favorite or second.
Please permit me. I mean, I have so many favorites of yours, but this is one that I am so totally hooked on. I love this track so, so much. And with that, I play this for you, Mr. Blackman. Sir Larry Blattman. We look forward to you coming to our shores. And thank you very much for your time.
This is Colourful Radio.